Wow.
What are you wowing about?
Our guests are awesome.
Awesome. Yes. I even let one of them like totally manhandle me. Not even womanhandle me. Manhandle me.
Who manhandled you?
He did.
I totally manhandled her.
You were there.
Yeah, oh, that was then. I thought it was like today. I was like, what a manhandling happened today and I missed it.
I mean, this is something I hold very dear to my heart. Yes. And I don't know if I don't think I told you, but I was telling her like probably a day or two afterwards, like, that was like, that meant a lot to me.
That's true.
She doesn't let people touch her.
And men especially, like not like that.
Aww.
Ever.
I mean,
ever.
I didn't rub my thingy near your thingy. Like I specifically tried. I've listened enough to the podcast to understand that you have an aversion to thingies.
You can actually say the word.
So I attempted to leave my thing. No, I prefer to be a child. A child who can't say the word penis. But who says thingy.
He's a penis.
And so I purposefully kept my thingy away from your thingy.
Aww.
As to make it more comfortable for you.
Also, that's not really a thing that comes out.
My thingy or her thingy?
Yeah, no, when you're just demonstrating, it's not like, and here's my penis. Like, bam.
I don't know. I know some guys that it absolutely does come out of.
Right, and he's not that guy, is my point.
Yes, yeah. Which so was clearly illustrated.
Right.
Yeah.
So tonight's episode's on why I'm doing it wrong.
Tonight's episode, no, on why he's doing it right, how he doesn't bring his penis out and everybody wants to touch it.
Oh,
but
anyone want to touch it?
Don't they?
I think
if it came out, everyone would want to touch it.
So is that where we're going for?
I mean, certainly I want to watch someone.
You want to watch other people touch his penis?
Yes, I'm totally down with that.
What if I gave you one of those little like gun-operated claws that you can reach from across?
You can just stroke it.
One of the things that was just like
from a distance.
You know, he has that really neat violet wand he got at the antique store.
Whoa! I know.
You can stroke with violet wand.
Nothing says love like electricity.
No.
I believe I texted this to you earlier, but don't threaten me.
I don't threaten you. I'll fucking threaten you hard, bitch.
And I'm going to watch her threaten you.
Threaten me in my dirty, dirty hole.
Your dirty, dirty hole. Think your dirty hole beg for more.
Whoa. Hey.
Wow. So much is happening.
This is why we love these people. I guess we should introduce ourselves.
Hey, there's a thought.
So first off, welcome to Intellectual Kink.
Welcome.
I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And then we have guests.
Yay.
Would you like to introduce yourselves?
I am Melissa, a.k.a. Good Most Times on FetLife.
She is Good Most Times.
And I'm Charlie Frown, a.k.a. Andrew, long-time listener, third time.
Attendee. Guest.
Visitor.
Guest. I can't get enough of myself.
And oddly enough, he is here not to talk about rope.
What?
Shocking. Like, he's the rope guy.
I do other things.
Shocking.
No.
And have other things.
I know. He pulled out his, like his whole toy, not his whole toy bag, but, like, all of these restraints and stuff when he went over to his place. Like, all over the living room floor was all this stuff. And
that we never used.
He had ball gags and these neat blindfolds and, like, all this. He's like, this is the best, this. And then you never use them?
Never use
them. That's fucking sad.
Well, I have two suitcases full of shit. I don't use all of that.
But it's really like you have the toy for the partner.
Right.
Okay. So of the things partner that I have, specific. What are you like? Like, hey, like, this is the thing that I want to use that we haven't used.
Yeah, none of them.
Yeah, okay, so.
No, I'm just saying we never use those. So it was like show and tell because I never get to use this stuff.
Because maybe if somebody were a little open-minded.
I'm not opposed. We just don't.
So
shit
a few
just
weeks.
Got real, y'all. Shit just got real.
A few weeks ago, we had two episodes back-to-back. One was responsibilities of a submissive and the other one was responsibilities of a dominant. And so we had those shows and then Andrew was like, what the fuck? When's your episode on responsibilities of a switch? And we were like, switches have responsibilities?
Right. And then I was like, fine, whenever you're going to come on and do it. And he's like, he was half joking. I'm like, come and do it. So he's here to do it.
The responsibilities of a switch are to do whatever the fuck, whenever the fuck.
See, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, that's not true, though.
I reject this.
That's the thing. We had been talking about it. And so your episodes were helpful because it was like, oh, well, that of submissive and that of dominant, both. But it's almost like we have to figure out four things. What do we expect as a dominant and from the submissive, and then as a submissive and from a dominant? So we have double the responsibility.
So you have to figure that out for like each individual person. So like for the two of us, it's like, okay, so if I'm a dominant and you're submissive, like here's what like my D type equals to me. Here's like how I like to exhibit myself as a dominant. And then she's like, okay, here's how I like to exhibit myself as submissive. And then we have to sort of come to the common ground on those two things, and the opposite for the other way.
Most people don't have switch relationships though, do they?
I don't know. It seems like not, at least from listening to, like, say, for Great Answers podcast I listened to. And it seemed like a lot of the people on there, they were saying that they have partners for whom they are only submissive. And then they will top other people.
Yeah.
So they don't have that dynamic where they have to figure out all four.
Yeah, that's generally what the switch people that I know, they generally are either, they have still, it's still a very kind of DS relationship with individual people. They just have more relationships. I mean, you too, I mean, obviously you're both poly, but you could ostensibly get what you needed from each other in your switchy roles because you're both switches.
Sure. Right. But I think it's really interesting in the sense, from Melissa and I's standpoint, that I think I have inherently a ton more experience as a top and a ton more experience as a dominant. And she has probably a ton more experience
I have zero experience.
To the limited experience that she has, the bulk of the experience that she has been as a bottom.
Yes.
So it's weird in the sense that we both associate as switches, but we're both sort of testing out those opposite sides. Like, I've been a switch who has consistently sort of been in relationships with people who have been a bottom. Mm-hmm. Melissa is a switch who has sort of really kind of recently come to the kink lifestyle.
Yes.
And is recently sort of exploring that side of her and has most typically fallen into the role as a submissive or a bottom.
It's easier.
Lazy.
Yeah, probably. So fuck yeah. Being a dominant. Is
what
hard.
The fuck? Now I am seeing what's up with the seating arrangement.
Us versus you.
It takes a lot more planning.
They can actually jump back and forth for both sides.
Yeah, I can walk switching. Over to the other side and talk, and then I can walk back here.
In my experience, it's the best of both worlds. Takes a lot more planning to be dominant. And then you have so much shit to clean up after. You're just like, oh my God.
No, you just have the submissive clean.
Yeah, but
yeah, that didn't happen.
If they're subspaced out, I'm not going to wait for them to like be ready to so that we can clear out if we're like at a dungeon or something. I'm just like, I can clean it. I'm not that much of a diva.
Well, it's funny because I think that she takes like her protocol as a dom in some ways for me. And for me, it's like I need to do the cleanup because that's like the cleanup for me is aftercare. Like, I've had a bunch of bottoms, and specifically rope bottoms, that are like, oh, do you want me to help you coil your ropes or or do this or that or the other? And I'm just like, no, like, I need to do that to take me out of the space of where I was back to being normal, functional human.
Plus, I want it done the way I want it, and you don't know how I want it, so no.
And even though you know how there I want it, that. You still don't know how I want it.
It's not going to be right. Yeah.
There is that. I can appreciate. Everybody has their thing about the way they want the rope done. I get that.
Yeah, but it's for me, it's like sort of this weird aftercare thing where I need to kind of like take care of myself. And part of that is putting everything back to where it started from before we started the scene.
My aftercare requires, you know, me to sit down and have a cigarette.
There's that.
That's my aftercare.
As a non-smoker, I don't have that. But I can understand that as like a ritual. Totally.
What? No, just... taking it all in. I'm still on the fact that you guys are all over there and I'm
do you want me to get up?
I know.
I'll get up and walk over them.
Somebody will come join us.
No, it's okay. I'm fine.
No, it's happening.
Oh my God, no.
It's happening. It's done.
And he's within touching range. His penis is also very close too.
But I'm...
my parts.
I have germs.
Aw, are you sick?
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's bad.
You'll be fine. He'll be fine. And that happened.
Ha 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 ha! That was awesome.
Penis.
It came at me in three dimensions. I was very scared of it for a moment there.
It was awesome.
It was terrifying. Oof.
Do you feel better now?
Yes.
Now he's going to pet you.
She doesn't want the weirdo on her side, and I'm the weirdo.
Yeah, you know, be careful what you wish for.
You just might get it.
Ain't that the truth?
So what do you...
You get, Nancy, that you really do just bring out everybody's D-like tendencies. Like, everybody around you is like, look, it's like,
I can do that.
I can mess with the ants.
I can do that.
I can make her painfully uncomfortable.
Well, and it's you would so do that fun. For anybody.
It's there's this weird thing my D type really wants the S type to be uncomfortable, and not necessarily uncomfortable in the way that they want to be uncomfortable, but uncomfortable in the way that I want to make them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. Like it's really
it's not weird.
I mean, no, that makes total sense. Like you don't want to give them the thing they want.
What's it? But it's
otherwise
not like a.
It's expected.
But it's not like
you're
a.
Totally
but it's not like a painful thing. It's like an uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
Like I want them to be mildly unsettled a lot of the time.
I agree. And I think there's actually a psychology to that because it keeps them a bit off kilter, which gives them an inability to predict your next move.
Sure.
Which makes it so that they're automatically a little bit kind of more submissive because sure. then they're always playing catch up, which is fantastic.
It's funny because it's like the thing that I think that Melissa and I talk about that a lot of the D types to S types don't talk about is just the switches is like, we'll have conversations where she'll ask me about, okay, like, how do you figure out how you want to set up a scene? Like, what is, like, just in sort of a general, like, overview strategy, how do you put things together? And we have those conversations, which is really interesting. And one of the things that has kind of come up for me more often than not is I kind of want it to be like a roller coaster ride. But I want it to be a roller coaster ride that suddenly goes in a direction that you don't expect it to go.
Yeah.
Like you slowly build towards an expectation of this is the next thing that's going to happen. But then when that thing doesn't happen, it sort of subverts your expectations. Kind of like, in a lot of ways, to me, that's a good scene.
Now, do you two feel that when you share after, like, scenes, how it felt from both perspectives, from both the top and the bottom perspective, and what... you know, went into the scene and how you came out of it. Do you guys share like all of that?
We've only just recently been having a lot of these conversations. And one of the things we agreed on is that we would wait for a day or two before we discussed it so we could kind of process what happened and then discuss like, what did we like? What did we think could have gone better? What we would have maybe enjoyed more out of the scene.
Which you totally broke at dinner.
I did, but...
She totally broke it at dinner by giving me feedback on a scene that we had today.
I did.
Already.
I did.
Already.
I did. But I felt like that was a minimal, like minimal feedback.
Come see, come saw. Yeah. You didn't break my heart.
It wasn't a huge
But if
thing.
She had it processed already.
Oh no, she totally had it. Like she had the very... And it wasn't non-specific feedback. It was very specific like, oh hey, this was a thing that I did for this reason. And I really wish you would have kind of done this thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And my feedback is, if this was a thing that you did for this reason, it would have been nice to know that you did that thing for that reason.
Right. Which is something else that we've been working on. Like, if you want more of something, say you want more of that thing.
Yeah. And it's been an interesting conversation in the course of our interacting. Because, I mean, I think for me, at least, the scenes that we have and the scenes that I have with my partners are sort of inherently geared towards sex. Like, it's not like it's probably why I don't play more often in public places, is because, like, for me, the end of playing is orgasm. Right. Like, that's where I'm going, that's where I'm aiming for, that's what I want. And it becomes difficult in public places to necessarily do that. So for us, it's been more of a like, okay, I need that feel, I need feedback real time. Like, I need for us to talk real time as we're doing the scene. I need you to talk to me, like, and tell me, okay, this thing, but not this thing, and this thing, and this thing. And that's not going to totally break my heart. Mm-hmm. There are some times that I'm going to respond with, and I think one of the things that we've talked about is pretty in-depth is intent, in the sense of, like, her feedback of, like, hey, this hurts. And my response to be, my intent is to hurt you. It's going to continue to happen. Get ready for it. Like it's, but it's a different.
That's not always my goal.
No, so that's not always
something that I need to know that he's doing that on purpose.
Yeah. Like that's not always my goal. That's not always her goal. So in a lot of instances, it's really important that I express, like, because if the goal is for, like, if the end goal is for both of us to have sex and both of us to have a great time and, like, her to have an orgasm or multiple orgasms and me to have an orgasm or multiple orgasms, like, in order to get there, it's going to take some pre-prescribed things, both on my side and her side. And in a lot of instances, for her side or for my side, those aren't necessarily oriented around stuff like pain, or they aren't necessarily oriented around certain types of play. But that doesn't mean that as a top, or if I'm as a top, or if she's functioning as the top, that there are things that we don't want to explore as a top that won't necessarily get our partner closer to that state. So in those instances, it's sometimes really important to go like, no, my intent isn't to get you off with this. My intent is to do this thing, and I'm doing this thing for me.
So to that point, when you're in, you know, your D-type role or your S-type role, would you say that one of the responsibilities is to commit and be fully present in that role without bleeding over into the other role at any point?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think the goal is to be fully committed to,
yeah,
like, this is the thing that I'm doing.
Right.
Like, if you're in the D-type role, it's, I'm going to take them on the ride. And if you're in the S-type role, it's like, I've sat down in this roller coaster, the lap bar has come down, and I'm going to go on this ride. And that's the ride. I'm already there. I've waited in line. It's time to go. Like,
yeah. Is that difficult?
For me, no.
No.
Okay.
It hasn't ever, I think for me, it really hasn't been, because as a D-type, I've primarily functioned as the D-type. So it's a lot easier for me to go into that and that headspace and figure out how that works. And the weird thing is, I think that for both of us, I don't know, and I'll certainly let Melissa speak for herself. When I'm in a submissive role, it's been such a rarity. I mean, I've been involved in kink in one way or another for almost probably over 10 years now. And very little of that has been as a submissive. Okay. So the opportunities that I have to do that are, because they're so rare, I am in no way critical when they happen. I am just very much like, ooh, this is a thing that's happening. It's such a rare event that, like, I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it wash over me and I'm going to enjoy it. And at some point, like, I think Melissa's at a place where she needs in a lot of ways to figure out how she wants to function in her D-type. So I'm more than happy to let her explore. And in exploring, there are going to be some things that she would necessarily not do again and that I would not necessarily have her do again. But I want to give her that room for exploration and to figure out, oh, this is how this works for me. And with the limited amount of exposure that I've had as an S-type, like, I'm happy to have her do that just to have that kind of interaction at all, if that makes sense.
No, it does. So you don't find yourself deconstructing?
I do on occasion, but I deconstruct everything, man. Like, I'm a person who believes that humans as a whole are mentally geared to judge, are mentally geared to dissect and judge everything. Like, that's what we're good at. That's why we haven't been killed. That's why the species has continued to thrive. That said, I know that there's a certain level of criticism that isn't going to help her. Like, it just isn't going to help her,
right,
man. Like, she's going to learn on her own, and I want her to be a separate entity. Like I want her to own her D-type. I want it to be an organic growth that comes out of her. I don't want it to be completely colored by me, because in sort of being polyamorous, like, if I kind of give her feedback to gear her D-type to what I want, that's not necessarily going to work for whoever else she wants to meet. And it's not necessarily going to make her happy. Like, I want her to figure out how her D-type works to make her happy, because if she's happy doing it, then it will become more balanced. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
Like, whatever she, like when she takes joy out of doing that thing, when it's inherently, like, because I think to be a dominant, like, it's got to be motivated from within you. Like, what you're doing has to be motivated by what you want. And if it's not motivated by what makes her happy and what she wants, it's not, then it becomes sort of like her running through the motions based on what she thinks I want, which mm-hmm. isn't going to make her happy.
No, it's sort of service toppy.
Yeah, and it's got to be sort of a for me, it's about that mutual exchange. It's that mutual exchange that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think. He was very specific in saying that yes is everything that like we're exploring and things that I'm coming into as a D-type because it's not something I've had much experience with. So it's something that I am still trying out lots of different aspects of kink and aspects of being a D-type that I have not ever had experience with. So it is something that's very new for me and very almost unwieldy because there are so many things to try that I'm excited to try. And I appreciate the fact that he is very willing to let me explore all of those things and give me feedback, of course, of what he liked and what he didn't like, but never in a way that is like, don't ever do that thing, but just like, maybe not for me, but, or like less of that for me, but for someone else, go for it. Like we have a friend who was like, do whatever you want. Just don't put it in my ears, essentially. Like none of my orifices. None of my orifices.
No, the weird thing was, no. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Beat the hell out of me. Right. Destroy me.
Oh, but don't. But don't. No
don't. Don't. Don't hit my ass.
No spanking.
Which is right. Which is the which is part. Which is the padded area because upon you which you could easily hit.
Okay, right. That explains the marks now because yeah. I assume it's the picture of the marks because I was like, there's
no cushy parts.
I was like, why did you get the thighs?
No cushy parts.
Thighs, feet, sure. Go.
So it was literally like it was. I kid you not. Yeah. Melissa and I co-topped for the scene, and it was an hour and a half.
Holy shit.
Of beating that guy.
But what a fun challenge! I love those challenges.
Yeah, but we barely got like a moan out of him. Like,
I hate it was, that.
Oh.
Oh no! We got a growl. The growl was really satisfying.
I like that.
Yeah, the growl that was like an hour in.
Like the under the breath like growl is kind of really satisfying. Yeah,
I got a couple like mean looks when I slapped him in the face. But it was about
I missed
the slapping
satisfying.
Him in the face part.
You were tying her up.
Oh.
Yeah. And I slapped him in the face and was like face using the violet wand and the clothespins. He was not.
Oh no, the clothespins was actually that was my favorite co-top moment.
Yeah.
Was we had clothespins on his nipples.
That was good.
And we both had one clothespin and we were like 3, 2, 1 and then we both pulled them off at the same time and we both shoved our fingers into. Because have you ever had that thing where you take clothespins off and you push directly into the nipple and it hurts like 40,000 times worse?
I imagine I'm not.
So we both at the same time, we both popped the clothespins off and just both jammed our thumbs right, just right. And he's
the
like,
the best was that he knew that that's what we were going to do.
And there was
nothing. There was nothing he could do. He was tied to a thing and like, there was nothing he could do.
It was done.
Yeah.
Take that, Rob Snow.
Yeah. No, because the best
I know you're listening out there somewhere, Rob Snow.
Somewhere.
Take that, Rob Snow.
No.
Take that.
Because we stopped. You were like, wait. This is two-handed. Like, we both need to do this thing. Like, we started the countdown and then stopped. And then went for it.
No!
I didn't even touch you. I didn't even touch you.
You did
not,
a thing.
I'm not touching
not
you.
With the thing.
I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's not.
It's totally
there's
a
nothing.
Thing.
Oh!
Doesn't she have a thing with not touching?
Me not touching her. She has a thing.
Oh.
Like
no,
if I do that,
she
it's torture.
She had a thing where she was not touching.
She doesn't like to be touched.
But didn't she have a thing where you were sick and she was not?
No. She was under punishment.
She was not touching.
And her part of her punishment is I would not touch her for a predetermined amount of time.
Did it have to do with the cell phone? Did she use her cell phone wrong?
No, she didn't use her cell phone
wrong.
With
not getting permission.
Did she not get permission to use her cell phone wrong?
I
Oh, you used Pinterest like Tumblr.
Yeah. Like the naughty part of Tumblr. Oh.
This is the silliest punishment ever. You misused a social network for another social
for
network.
Porn.
Wait, all social networks aren't for porn?
I know.
No, LinkedIn notoriously has very little porn in it.
You haven't been looking in the right place.
Well, I guess I'm a little bit afraid.
Sorry. Do your friends have
look under the customer service category.
Shut up. Okay.
So anyway, she wasn't. I said I'm just not going to touch her. So I did a lot of I'm not touching you. I'm not. And she was like, oh, I like drove her crazy. It was awesome. You know, you got to know the person
what sort of drives them insane. Yeah. Sure.
And it worked. It was very good.
Nice.
Drive you insane. Drive you insane. I could do it.
Speaking of driving insane,
yes.
Let's not talk about that anymore. No.
But I think that kind of plays into the switch thing in the same way that the DS. Plays out. You have to know your partner. Mm-hmm. You have to know what you want out of the scene.
Yeah.
And what they might want out of the scene. So, and that goes both ways. So you have to know what you want as a D type or as an S type. And I mean, we kind of touched on this.
Yeah, it's almost like there are more details you have to keep in your head.
Yeah.
Because there are things that I would do as a dominant that I would probably not be into as a submissive.
And same for me.
And
I'm this is a true statement for me.
I'm not into the electricity, but he kind of is. So, like, that works. But,
how's it going?
How's
it going?
Yeah, like, he's tried it on me, and I was like, yeah, no, still, like, I thought
it's awesome. It feels like a tattoo.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, like, it's cool, but it's not sexy.
All right.
Like if that's the goal, like you said, like if that's the end goal, that's
it depends on kind of like what
intent.
Sense.
Yeah,
and we've both and I think Melissa and I have both done scenes with other people. I don't think we've done them together, but we've done scenes with other people that were particularly like, wow, that person did a whole bunch of stuff that was not sexy.
Yeah,
it was within a BDSM context, but was not sexy at all, and it's like. Okay, that was an experience that I had. I don't know how super enthusiastic I am to have it again.
Right. Like, it was a thing that I did, and maybe at some point in the future again for that experience, but, like, to get me to the orgasm end goal?
That's not going to get you there.
Not the one.
There's a lot of play. Then, again, you can go into the concept of intent.
Sure.
There's a lot of different things you can do that might not be sexy at all, but if your intent is to make a sensual component to it, you can.
But I don't think, there's stuff that I'm not ever going to be able to talk her into feeling as sexy.
Needles.
Hey, she likes needles, but it's not really like a sexy thing. It's more of like
needles are not sexy.
For me, no.
They're for awesome. Some people, they are.
Well, they're instant, like, endorphin rush.
Right.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Like, I felt like I was on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that's going to equal sexy time for me. Like, blood play, less, like, needles. Like, I have needles in me. I don't think I want your penis in me now.
Wait, hold on.
Only so many things in you at once.
Wait, that's not like 100% all of the time thing?
It's not like, ooh, I want all the things in me now. No.
No? It's not one's not representative of another. Like, you're not being pierced by something and then you can be pierced by something else.
No, especially because the first one that happened was with a woman. So, had she had a...
Had she had something to pierce you with?
Better things to put inside of you than men do, just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm saying...
Like, I can buy all the things that you can buy.
But I have them all.
Yeah,
I have a bag full of dicks.
Yeah, even had she had a strap.
I have a bag full of dicks too. They're called my pants.
Ba-dum-bum.
So I want to know, are there any frustration?
Sorry. Nancy has a question.
Sorry, I'm singing Whitney Houston. Go. Carry on.
It's hard for me to carry on when you're like that. You're behaving in this way.
And I'm sober.
I have not.
Right? I have no excuse.
I just wonder, like, you know, if frustrations as a switch are they, I mean, in what way are they similar to the frustrations of a submissive or a dominant?
I don't know.
I mean, I think
having not been fully.
I think so I think I would perceive that in a lot of instances, frustrations that can come about being a submissive are troubles in and around expressing what you want and what you need. Is that an accurate statement?
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to say to somebody that's necessarily in a particular position, hey, like these are the things that I'm going to need from this relationship in order to make it work, even though there is a power dynamic, and the power dynamic is such where I am considered, quote unquote, the lesser, or I'm considered the receiver. There are certain things that in that negotiation I'm going to need in order to be able to accept that role. I think the communication issues are the exact same for a switch, except it's more of an opposite. It's not of an opposite. It's just sort of like more so. I mean, to me, with Melissa and with my partners, like a couple months ago, like 3 or 4 months ago, it like I became like, okay, like I've been rolling as the dom for all of our relationships. This other portion of me is like something I need to make happen.
Yeah.
And I don't like need it to be awesome right away. I don't need it to be like, I don't need you to roll in. I mean, because it's been in both instances for both of my partners years that we've been together. Close to years. Shut up. Close to years.
Like
close to years.
Year-ish.
Year-ish.
I'm saying for me.
I'm holding you down until next January. It will mean years.
Yes. But at this point, you're talking about.
Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes.
It was like a year.
Look at my eyes. You're not going anywhere.
Did I say it was?
You aren't.
Okay, that was about the cutest thing ever.
But it's one of those things where you're like, hey, like I need this, like I need this part of me. I don't need you to be awesome at it immediately. I don't need it all the time. I don't need it to be, but like I need something. Like I need an effort.
To my credit, I was like, hey, I know you need this thing. You need to tell me when
right.
you need
no,
that thing.
No, and that's
then
super
he was
true.
Like,
and that's super true. But
you know what I need. You just need to do it.
But
you have to tell me sometimes that that's what you need. Like,
understood.
It needs to go both ways.
I think that's the frustration. Yeah, and those are challenges in a lot of ways because
that's
it's
the frustration yeah. of like,
it's that whole
you
time.
You have to ask for it sometimes.
Well, I would guess like sort of as a submissive and kind of the difficulty in being submissive, it's like I want your D-top to be like your D-top. Like I want it to be about kind of like what you want and what you need and like you're just going to have that thing that you need, right? And so for her to be like, oh, hey, you need to tell me when. It's like, I need to tell you when you want that thing that you want. Like, no, you should just, like, want that thing. Like, you should be like, I want that thing. Now I'm going to have that thing, and you're going to do the thing because I tell you to do the thing because I want it. Like, it becomes difficult to say.
Now do that thing that you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah, yeah, do that yeah. thing that you want now.
Right, right. It's very kind of topping from the bottom.
And knowing right. and knowing as a top how much planning goes into that, it's really hard as a submissive in some ways in a switch relationship to be like, hey, I'm going to put all the pressure on you. I really need you to plan out a whole bunch of shit for me tonight because that's just what I need. So gets to planning, motherfucker. Like, it's like that's, I've been in situations where I've been put on the spot like that, not necessarily with the partners that I've had, but with previous partners where it's been like, uh-huh, so you're going to do this crazy thing. And it's like, sure, no, totally. I will totally do that shit on the fly. That's
magic
fine.
Is coming out of my ass now.
Right? No, my ass is filled with magic.
Well, no, mine is too. Rainbows and sprinkles.
No, and
unicorns.
Oh, and that's cool, but it's like I don't want.
I'm sorry, if you're pooping unicorns, that's a whole different issue. Rainbows are normal. Unicorns is an issue.
They're really pointy.
She's actually pooping pegacorns.
Pegacorns.
They're half Pegasus, half unicorn.
I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
We're a brony family, so I'm good.
You're a brony family. Yeah. Neither of you are bros. How can you be a brony family?
You can be a female bro in a brony
can't.
Family.
Neither of you are wearing an Ed Hardy shirt. You can't be female bro. Sick burn. Take that, Ed Hardy.
There is very few.
No, but it's seriously.
It's glittery, but there are no rhinestones.
But that weird, I mean, sort of that weird juxtaposition that I just discussed, like that's probably one of the hardest things. One of the hardest things I think for either of us is not wanting to put the other on the spot for being the person who's suddenly responsible.
How do you keep yourself responsible for communicating clearly?
We have to make lists, man. Like, we have lists and we have spreadsheets. Like, we have Google Docs with spreadsheets
that are like, awesome.
That are like, hey, here's the shit that we need to talk about.
Like, no, and I even asked him when he was like, is it too much if we do like a spreadsheet for this? And I was like, okay, is a spreadsheet just for keeping track of what we're going to talk about? Or is it to also document what our answers to what we're talking about is? Because now... He said, no, just for what we're going to discuss.
Now you're forgetting the answers?
No. So now I have well, a separate note to keep track of, like, my side thoughts.
Sure.
Until we get back to talking.
No, like, she has notes like, on her phone. Like, I bet if she opened her phone right now, she would have notes of stuff that, like, we
I
need.
I do. And, like, possible ideas for scenes and, like, absolutely. Just things. Because I'll forget. And you forget, too. Because we had this discussion the other day. That he was supposed to have a scene that he discussed with one of his rope teachers, and they were both like, what? We were supposed to do a huh? Because it was just like jokingly they mentioned we're going to do this scene.
I say a whole bunch of stuff like I'm going to dress up as panda bear and wear a hat.
You should
pull a rickshaw while you beat me with a bamboo pole.
Right, but some of these things.
This sounds like a good time to me.
Maybe.
I already have the panda pajamas. If you want to make it happen,
we and can, hats.
You,
and
you live real near, you know, little Tokyo.
Go time right after this.
Right,
it's a little cultural appropriation, but we'll deal with what we
you
deal
can
with.
Make it happen, but. It's, I think
I can do yellow
actually
face.
As
whoa, come on.
As his there was a partner line. Specifically,
which I crossed.
It's hard for me to know sometimes when he is joking or what he would actually like to have happen. Sometimes, generally
you know, I think when it comes down to it, I try to be as serious as I can and like,
right.
Hey, like,
but there
this would
are
be
times
super cool.
When. You're joking that I'm not sure like what? How much of that you would
and there
like
are other
to
things,
have happen.
And the other things is like there's stuff that she does where she goes like Melissa goes to a lot of classes because she's trying to figure out what she likes and what she doesn't like and this, that, and the other. And for her, she like goes and educates herself. And then I'll be like, oh, hey, you weren't available because you were going to this like, you know, like sassy, shitty me. I'll just be like, oh, well, you weren't available because you were going to this class. And she's like, asshole, I was going to this class because it's something that I want to do with you. And I'm like, you never fucking told me, so I don't know. And she's like, maybe it was a surprise. I'm like, it's tough for things to be surprises because they're in your Google Docs. But
well,
it's
true.
Google
there's
Calendar.
Calendar.
And then it's
there's
like,
the calendar. Yeah.
There's the calendar.
It's really like, it's...
But he's like, oh, was that for somebody else? I'm like, no, jerk, that's something you said you wanted. Like, I'm trying to learn how to do it so I don't just show up like, okay, we're going to do this thing. It's going to be awkward. Go.
It's no, like, she's like, what? I am, like, I suffer from an embarrassment of riches.
Yes.
I don't know what I've done to earn the credit that I've gotten. But I bask in the glory of my luck on a daily basis. It's ridiculous.
Are you guys going to Bazaar Bazaar?
Probably.
I would like to.
I went last year.
I didn't go last year.
They're doing taster booths, you know.
Yeah, where you do like a little thing.
I'm working through the booths.
Which are you doing? Yeah, I got
needles and canes.
I got last year I got spanked by do you know Marshall?
Spanky.
He used to be Spanky. He's the leader of the Hollywood Spanking Munch and the Hollywood Singles Munch. Like he ran the spanking booth. And I like walked up and he's sort of like, you know, that's like all he's about is spanking. And I'm like, let's go. Here's my money. 10 of your best. Lay it on me. That guy's got thick hands.
Did your buttocks hurt?
That guy can not sit that, properly. For
that,
like,
guy, that guy can.
Yeah.
That guy can bring the thunder.
Win.
That guy can bring the thunder.
Yeah.
Like three in, I was like, I'm sweating and I've got like another seven. This is not going well for me.
Yeah. No warm up.
No.
And that's the thing. You're paid.
No.
For the big spanks.
Yeah, no. And that was the other mistake I make. There was no, like, I should have tipped for a warm-up, maybe.
Maybe.
Plus, I mean, you know, like, Marshall and me both men.
Right.
Like yeah. feel my heterosexuality. So
yeah.
you don't want to get too sensual with it. You just want to make it about, okay. like, two dudes enjoying a spanking.
Yeah. I'm still on the whole panda thing and somebody beating with a bamboo stick.
Panda.
Dude, I have panda pajamas at home right now.
And slippers and a hat.
And like, a hat.
It's a whole...
Like, I've got panda pictures.
Thing is the only thing we need is some bamboo, right?
I've got bamboo at home. Yeah, I've got bamboo canes at home right now.
So then you just need someone who can wield a cane really well.
Oh.
I know at least one person who's raising both of her hands right now.
I have some skill.
Were this on video, we would know who was raising their hand, but I'm confused.
What? Who could that be?
May or may not have some skill with canes, bamboo, and rattan. And
there's also rattan at the house.
I've got rattan as well.
Of course.
And I've got like some sort of synthetic. I can't remember.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
The only one I don't think I have is I don't have like a fiberglass one just because I'm paranoid about breaking it.
You don't have a metal one yet?
I do have a metal one.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Have you bent it yet?
Have I what?
Bent it.
No, this is hard fucking.
Hold on. Have you put it in the refrigerator or the freezer yet? Yeah.
No, but I want to.
For the scene that we did on Saturday, I've got a metal paddle. We put it in the freezer.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was awesome. The reason I ask is that a friend of ours, we saw. Were you at the GRU? But did you stay for the GRU after party? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you witness our friend have the metal cane bent on her ass?
Yes.
Because that's a thing that happened.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when we went to Seattle and we visited with those friends, they had since moved to Seattle, and the sub was like, I want him to use it, but he's saying he needs to re-bend it back the other way on me, and I'm not ready.
I'm not ready.
I was like, no, I don't think anyone's going to be ready. He's going to have to come back and play with her again.
One of the cool things that I imagine.
I don't know how that even happened.
I don't know, but that's awesome.
Her ass must be, she has to talk about a buns of steel.
Right.
I guess.
But I'm thinking like as when you're in that S-type role, I think a lot about what you say about how S-types have the most evil ideas.
Uh-huh.
So I keep thinking that maybe that's also an awesome part about being a switch.
Yes.
Is that you have been in those shoes. You know what it's like.
And
you come up with these crazy ass shit to do to somebody else that you can't actually do to somebody else because, hey, guess what? You're a switch.
Yeah.
No, it's super.
Actually, yeah.
We have more and more lately, since. We've had friends coming to us that have been like, hey, I'm going to do this interrogation scene. Right. What terrible thing can I do to this person? And I'm like, Let's meet up and have lunch and talk about the terrible things that can be done to people.
Hey.
Because I've got a can of terrible things.
Because I'm not a masochist. And so these particular friends are like, I'm meeting up with Andrew and we're going to talk about terrible things to do to this sub that I'm working with and you. I'm like, nah, funny. No.
She's not a masochist either. And I do terrible things to her all the time.
She does terrible things to me. And then people are like, how can you do that? That's so crazy. And I'm like, what? That was really?
That was like a Tuesday. Yeah.
Well, not even that, but that I know somebody else I could take like way fucking worse. What is this? I'm like such a pussy. What are you talking about?
It depends. Cause some people look at pain, but then there's a different kind of thing when you're dealing with the emotional psychological thing. And that's what I do with her. And that probably is more around where you are. Cause if you're not a masochist,
right.
What are you gonna do?
There's other things that Melissa says she's not a masochist, but there are things that she's experienced before that she hasn't liked that you just need to. One of the biggest conversations that she and I have about any type of play at all, and I think it's sort of important for anyone to have is okay, what's the context? Because you can make near anything sexy to me if you can give me I'm constantly saying, okay, where's the sexy at? If you can put it in the right context, you can make it sexy. I mean, I would go back to the whole cropping thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will let you go to town on that.
Okay. So part of our conversations of we went through our checklists again, because we had a year plus ago when we first started dating. And then we hadn't really revisited it. So it was like, okay, you want me to top you. I need to know the things that you are interested in. And you then get to see the things that I'm interested in. We'll compare and figure out what we haven't done yet. So one of the things that was not high on my list was a crop. But he has a crop and we hadn't used it. So he was like, all right, let's try this out. And I think because he knows me, he was able to use it in a way that was sexy for me. And I was like, yeah, but you didn't even use it that hard. He's like, no, I was fucking beating the shit out of you with that crop. I was like, oh, I didn't realize, because you were also fingering me at the time. So if you build the sexy and then you're hurting me as well. Like, it works. Like,
I got two hands. I only need one to operate a crop.
Right. So, like, if you can build the sensual side of it, then the pain just kind of plays into it. And I've heard that's not uncommon.
Sure.
But, yeah, if you're just going pain, I'm going to shut off. Like, all of it shuts down. There's no sexy in that. But if you can do both together, then yeah, that works. So,
and it's doing both together. Like, it's doing both together right. It's like yeah. Under the difficulty, like the biggest challenge in switches is it's like, okay, I need to now understand both sides of this equation and both sides of how these contexts work for you. And like that is one implement in the myriad of hundreds of things that are sort of on a checklist. And it's, for us, it's been recently, it's been like, okay, I'm going to approach this. Like, okay, let's talk about this one thing. You rank this one thing like super high. I ranked it as kind of like, why is it super high? Like, why is it sexy? Like, tell me in your head, what's the context in which it becomes sexy? And if I can wrap my head around that context, that's what I can use to bring that out of you. And a lot of instances, if something's like, I don't really care either way. But my partner is like, no, like, this is the shit. Like, this is like Sploosh Town 110%. I am like, okay, like, why is it Sploosh Town? And they're like, oh, no, it's this, 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 and this. And then I'm just like gushing. And I'm like, all right, I'm into it. Let's go. It's go time.
Right. But
I want to do it now.
It's not just like, ooh, I need a cane. It's like, why do you need the cane? Oh, because the cane builds into this thing. And then there's all this context around it. You have to know all those parts. And then it works. And it's getting to that, like, for me, at least, the checklist is the basis where you ask the questions.
For me, I think the hardest part is it's sort of being vigilant about it. It's being vigilant about keeping yourself to having those conversations on a regular basis. Right. And keeping yourself to having those conversations, specifically in a polyamorous relationship where we're both having experiences outside of our interactions together. It's continually understanding how those experiences then color what your perception is of any one of those events or how those events fit together. And it's consistently just sort of sitting down and going, oh, hey, you did this thing. How did you feel about that? Okay, what did you like? What did you not like? What would you change? What would you stay the same? Was there anything?
Do you want to do that again? Do you want me to do those things for you?
Yeah. Is that something you want from me? Is that something you only want from someone else? Like, is that something that you only have an interaction with when you have an interaction with women? Because in a lot of ways, Melissa's exploring her bisexuality. So it's like, okay, do you see yourself only doing those things with a woman? Or do you see that as something that you want from me? Or do you see that as something that you want to do to me?
Or ever. Like,
ever.
Is that really a thing? Or is that just a like, oh, that's something you think would be good, but didn't work out. And now you're done with it. Like, How did that go?
Yeah, because you hear like, ooh, I did this thing with this person. And you're like, well, you did that thing with that person. Well, I thought you didn't like that thing. Why did you do that thing with that person? That's not me. Why would you ever do that thing with that person? And you're like,
what?
And you're like, well, why did you do that thing? And she's like, and she or I are like, yeah, no, that thing with that person was not good. And you're like, oh, okay.
Right. That's that thing with that person was in that instance and, yeah. That can stay in that experience, and that's a good, like, that was that one time thing.
So when you guys are fantasizing, do you jump back and forth between both roles, or whatever is lacking most you find yourself falling into, or whatever you're, for whatever reason, just kind of feeling? Because, you know, we all have ebbs and flows and seasons when we're feeling more dominant, less dominant. It's the cycles. Mm-hmm. How does, is it just man random?
In my experience, it's been definitely, I would say, yeah, ebbs and flows. Like, sometimes more dominant, sometimes more submissive. Like, it'll be maybe a week or two of one and then the other. Like, it's definitely, it doesn't just randomly fluctuate. It'll be like a period of time, like more dominant, and then, you know, another period more submissive.
I think it's weirdly both for me, because in my instance, like, it's on like if you're specifically talking about fantasy, it's the creation of the situation, which I think is an inherently dominant thing. Like you're creating a scenario, you're setting a scene, you're determining what's happening. So in one instance, I can see myself setting that scene as a dominant. In the other instance, I can fantasize about myself experiencing that. I mean, I think I just want to top myself. I think is what my fantasy is about.
So you want to figure out how to clone you.
Yeah, no, so you no. I think me would really handle my needs very well.
Would you go heteroflexible so I can watch you have sex with yourself?
Sure. No, awesome. Totally.
Let's do this.
He's pretty flexy in that instance.
I mean, come on.
I'm going to watch all these things.
Right?
If there's one thing I'm never going to say, it's never.
Okay, so it's pretty the to summarize, we've got communication, obviously a lot of communication.
Lockman.
I really liked, Melissa, what you said in the beginning is that there were four things.
There really was,
you had to, you know, figure out what you wanted as a dominant, what you wanted from the submissive, what you wanted as a submissive, what you wanted from the dominant, which obviously complicates the situation automatically more than if you're just a D type or just an S type. I liked that. I think that to me is a big component of the responsibilities of a switch, is understanding those four components. Communication.
Mm-hmm.
I like Google Docs. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then committing and being present in the moment whenever you're either being a D or an S in a given moment.
Like you can't, and the other thing is it's like, because Melissa and I are both specifically in and around rope and rope tops, like...
Their rope is awesome, guys.
The one thing that's not, that you can't do and that I really haven't ever had a problem with, but I can see people having a problem with, is like critiquing someone's rope while they're putting it on you. Like, it's just, I don't know. Just do your, like, for me, it's like as a bottom, I'd like try to close my eyes and just enjoy what's happening to me. But I can entirely see that being a stumbling block.
Hmm. Yes. But to differentiate between critiquing and communicating.
Yeah.
Because definitely. You still have to be present enough to say, my hand is numb. I can't feel my fingers, or my foot is tingly. Like, you need to give that feedback.
Or, wow, that's tight.
Right. Like, that's
in
really...
In an unpleasant way.
Yeah. Right. Like, that's really compressing my wrists right now. Like, feedback is different from, that looks ugly.
The rope you put around my throat is choking me out.
Right. Like, I can't breathe.
That was my intent. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Right? Am I right? Am I right?
It may be. It may be, but that's really tight on my neck from, I can't breathe. Like, different.
You'll just pass
I'm about
out
to make sleepy time. Up.
Different. Like, different and important different. Right. Having experienced both, need to communicate. So, yeah, different from saying, like, this is fucking ugly. Like,
well, and the better you know somebody, I mean, it's one of those things that you're slowly building towards anticipating and less communication. Like, the more you understand that, the more you can build scenes and build interactions around understanding what their expectations are.
Absolutely. Getting to know your partner, once you've kind of gotten past that initial state, it's so fantastic because then they trust you, you trust them, you know what's going on. It's like, all right, you trust me? We're just going to do some shit tonight. Don't know what it is. It's just going to happen.
Right.
And I love that.
Mm-hmm. But as someone
like what I do with you all the time.
As someone who's new to being the D-type, more communication is generally better. So I know what it is that is liked. That is...
Just do it. Nah. Just do it all.
Just take it. That's what S-types want. Just take it. Well, thank you. This has been fantastic.
We love you guys. Like, we really fucking do.
So excited. I was like, oh my God, we get to see Andrew and Melissa.
Yay. We love seeing you guys. Like, it's awesome. Your show is awesome.
I love your show.
Please keep up the good work.
I'm totally going to be rude and say, I can't wait for us to come over again.
No, totally come over whenever
right?
we...
Yeah.
I was actually disappointed that you guys weren't.
Plenty of time these days.
That's true.
Whenever you want. That you guys didn't come to the Rope Bite Munch this past week.
You I don't remember
because
why.
Because you totally could have come over.
We had a thing we
you could have come over and witnessed us wrestle.
Oh, yeah. You could have witnessed us wrestling Rob Snow.
Yeah.
All right, this shit has to. We need to hang out with them more.
And we need to watch them have sex.
We obviously need to watch them have sex. This needs to happen.
Yeah. No, not only did I put a neck rope on him, I also put arm cuffs on him. And he now has like bruises on his arms.
I have bruises from Melissa's
arm cuffs. He also has bruises from my
Don't wrestle Melissa after she ties you.
That's not.
Yeah. All right. Moral of the story. Bruises from arm cuffs.
Review us on iTunes. Share us.
Tell people how awesome they are.
Fucking awesome. Everywhere. We love the show, and if you want to come on, let us know. But, you know, like this,
seriously,
we want to tell
people. Seriously, just make a joke. They'll let you on. It's amazing.
And have a topic.
You guys.
Right. Thanks.